We're holding on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of discussing the issue of Kiddushin She'enim Misurim Labia, where you have a man with Makadish, a woman, and now you have a problem as far as the future Bia that's going to result from it. According to Rashi, we're talking about just that the woman he was Makadish, he's also to do Bia with because there's a suffix involved. For example, we have the case of our Mishnah where he's Makadish one of two sisters, or both sisters together, where one of them, therefore, is going to be also to him as an erva, and therefore you can't do bia with either ones, with either one. That's Rashi's definition of kedushin shalom b'sirim labia. And Tosfos's definition is where the kedushin itself creates the isur bia. In this case over here, because he was Makadish two sisters, as opposed to, for example, let's say a kohen is Makadish a grusha. Sure, he's not allowed to do bia with her, but that Isur Bia didn't come as a result of his kedushin; it existed independently of it. Anyway, we were discussing Machlokas Abaya and Rava on the topic. Abaya says such kedushin are still valid kedushin, and once they're done, eventually a get is going to be needed to undo them. And Rava says to begin with, they're not kedushin because kedushin—the definition of kedushin—is that it has to include the ability later on for Bia. So we've been going through many, many different places in our Mishnah and in other places, trying to contradict Rava. And so far we haven't. So far Rava has been able to answer all of the challenges against him. So Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. This is actually the sefer of the Braisa that we started quoting yesterday. A Mishnah. So we had a case where a man was Makadish one of two sisters. The first case we discussed yesterday was a man was Makadish one of two sisters, and he doesn't know which one. So then we said, what happens if he dies without children? Then you have the various details about Chalitza and Yibum that we talked about yesterday. If he has only one brother, then he has to do Chalitza with both of them. If he has two brothers, then one can do Chalitza, and only then can the other one do Yibum, because no matter what, things have been taken care of. He can't do it the other way around. He can't do Yibum first, because she might be a Chos Zikukosai. And we said, b'di'evit, if both of them do marry the two women, the two sisters, then we don't force them to get divorced, because each one is only a suffix d'rabanan, because achos chalutzaseh is also only d'rabanan. So now the Gemara says, Toshma, let's see from the continuation of that same Mishnah. Shnaim shekidshu shtei achoyes, two brothers were Makadish two sisters. So you have Reuven and Shimon were Makadish Rochel and Leah. And neither one knows which one he was Makadish, which is an example of Kiddushin Shalai Nimsir or Bia, because neither of them would then be able to go and have Bia with either one of them, because either one of them might be his wife or might be his sister's wife. So the result is Zenois and Shnei Gittin. Zenois and Shnei Gittin, each one is going to have to give two Gittin, because each one is going to have to give a get to each of the sisters, Misafet. Now, it doesn't that show that Kedushin Shalai Nimsiru Labia are valid Kedushin? According to Rava, these Kedushin shouldn't be in effect in the first place. And the answer is, again, the Gemara says, like we learned yesterday, Hokanami Shohukru Vasoif Nisavu. Rava is going to understand here, as he understood in a few previous cases that we're talking about, where originally they did know. Reuven originally knew which one of them he had been Makadish. Shimon also knew, and then they forgot. So now, of course, it was Kedushin Shinim Surabiya at the time, and therefore, and that's why now, because of the suffix, each one needs to give two Gittin. Again, the Gemara, and the Gemara says, Dekanami, like we learned yesterday. We can also be medayik that from the words of the Mishnah, dekatani eni yedeya v'lekatani eni yadua, because we said he doesn't know, implying this is something that he previously knew and now doesn't know anymore. It doesn't say eni yadua, which would mean something that was never known in the first place. Now, again, like we learned yesterday, Abaya doesn't have to hold that distinction. He could hold that the Mishnah is not making that distinction. The Tosfos HaRosh explains that the Abaya would say the Mishnah is not really making that distinction. Lo Yodea and Lo Yodua are pretty much, for our purposes, the same thing. But Rava, at least, will be medayik not to contradict him, that we're talking about Hukrul or Sof Nisavu. Well, then the question is, Yichochi Maila Memra. Then in that case, what's the Chiddush? Obviously, in that case, they need the two Gittin. And the answer is, and like we learned yesterday, in the previous part, Sefer, it's Tirichalei, the Reisha is not really the Chiddush, it's only by way of introduction to the case of the Sefer, where it continues. Mesu. What happens if these Reuven and Shimon die? And each one has a brother. So let's not call the original two Reuven and Shimon, actually, because that would suggest they're brothers and they're not necessarily. We'll call them Moshe and David. So they're unrelated men who were Makadosh two sisters. Now, Moshe dies and he has a brother, Aaron, and David dies and he has a brother, Eliyav. So if each one has one brother, Zecholitz the Shtein, then each one of the two brothers has to do Chalitza with both of the women, because again, each one doesn't know which one is Zokuk to him, which one he would have to do Chalitza or Yibum with, and which one not. What happens if one of the men has one brother and the other one has two brothers? In that case, among the two brothers, one of the two brothers, so let's say Moshe has two brothers, let's say David has two brothers, Eliyav and Shama, which are the names of actual brothers of David in real life. So fine, Eliyav will do Chalitza v'hashnai. So rather, ha'echad, Moshe's one brother Aaron will still do Chalitza to both of them. Because he can't marry either one of them, because one of them might be achos zekukase. One of them is achos zekukase. We don't know which one is which. Vashnaim, as far as the two brothers, as far as David's two brothers, echad cholitz ve'echad miyabim. One of them has to do chalitza, and then the other one, if he wants, can do yibum with one of the women, because one way or the other, either she's his brother's wife, either she's his brother's wife, and Chalitza hasn't been done yet. Or if she's her sister, then fine, the Zika is already gone. She's not Achos Zikukase anymore. Again, in Kodmu Vakonsu and Metzinos and Yodam, if the two brothers, if David's two brothers do go and marry the two women, in Metzinos and Yodam, we don't force them to get divorced because one of them, it's true, one of them might be Achos Zikukase, but the Evid, again, it's only Derabanan. And so the point is, the chiddush of that part of the Mishnah, davka michlatz v'hadu yabumi, it has to be done in that order, that first Moshe's brother did chalitza with these women, and only then can one of David's brothers marry them, or even both of them, b'diavad, avo yabumi v'hadu michlatz loy, but not that David's brothers should marry the two women, and only then will Moshe's brother do chalitza dekapaga be yivama l'shuk, because the problem is one of them is still a yivama and she can't marry out without chalitza or without yibum. So therefore we first need the chalitza to be done to release the zika, and only then we can talk about is one of them in fact which one is David's kala where therefore now one of his brothers can do yibum with her and which one not. So that would be the chiddush of that part of the Mishnah. And Rashi adds, by the way, the chiddush is not that he has to wait before his brother has to do chalitza before he does yibum. That we already learned from the Reisha of the Mishnah. Here, though, we're talking about we have the extra twist that you also need Moshe's brother's chalitza before they can even start doing what they want to do as far as yibum. So that part, that would be the chiddush of that part of the Mishnah. According to Rava, you're right, the first part of the Mishnah that mentioned that they both need Yitin from Moshe and from David is not a chiddush at all, really. Because we're talking about Hukrul or Seif Nisavu, so it's not really a chiddush at all. We're only doing it by way of introduction to presenting the rest of the case of the Mishnah. So still no contradiction against Rava. However, the Gemara says, Toshma de Toni Tavyum. We can bring a proof from a braisa that Tavyumi taught. Tavyumi is a person's name. We find elsewhere, we find in Bava Basra, that Mar Barav Ashi's real name was Tavyumi. But Pashtos, it doesn't mean over here him, because then it would just say the Tani Mar Barav Ashi. So Pashtos, it was somebody else of the same name. Anyway, he taught a braisa. Lozech Hamisha Bonim, Lozech Hamisha Bonnos. Suppose you have two men, one has five sons, And those sons made him their shliach to be mekadesh for them, because a father doesn't have the ability to be mekadesh his sons unilaterally. And the other one has five daughters who are all Ktanas or Nairis. Because again, once they're Boigris, then the only way for this to work would be if he made them a shliach for him, for them. Anyway, the Omar, so now the father of the sons says to the father of the daughters, Achas mibnei secha mekudeshes la'achad mibonai. One of your daughters is mekudesh to one of my sons. But he didn't specify which one of the daughters and which one of the sons. So the din is kol achas va'achas tzricha chamisha gittin. Each of those girls is going to need five gittin because each girl is going to need a get from each one of the brothers because maybe she's makodesh to him. And again, nobody is going to be able to marry anybody because if, for example, among the five girls, you have Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, and Bilhah, let's say. So Sarah may be makodesh to Reuven. And then if she is, then she's also to Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar, and so forth. And the result is that all of them are going to need gittin, and they're all going to need five gittin. And the Braisa continues, Mes Echa Behem, if one of the brothers dies without having given the get, then each one of the girls is going to need four gittin, one from each of the surviving brothers, and also she's going to need chalitza from one of the brothers. Fine, once she gets chalitza from one of the brothers, she doesn't need from all the other ones, but nevertheless, each one is going to need chalitza because she might be the one who was mekudesh to the dead brother. So, by the way, the Meiri points out over here in the scenario, what if the father of the boys says, Kol b'nei secha mekudoshes l'chol bonai? What if he said a little bit different? Here in the Gemara, we're saying, Achas mibnei secha mekudoshes l'echad mibonai. One of your daughters is mekudosh to one of my sons, and the question is which daughter and which son. What if he says, Kol b'nei secha mekudoshes l'chol bonai? You could maybe assume that means Sara the eldest is mekudosh to Reuven the next, the oldest, and Rivka the next oldest, to Rivka, the next oldest, to Shimon, the next oldest, and so forth. Nevertheless, we wouldn't say that, says Miri. Anyway, the point is, now this is an example of kedushin shlanim sur labia, and yet we're saying that they're valid kedushin to the extent where each one needs a get. In fact, that they need multiple getting. You're going to answer like you tried to answer in all the previous ones that you're talking about where originally we knew which one was Mekudesh to which one and afterwards we forgot. Nope. The fact is, the Braisa says, one of your daughters is Mekudesh to one of my sons, implying that he didn't specifically say which one to begin with. So it wasn't a matter of hukrul of a seif nisavu. It's not that he originally said Sarah is mekudesh to Reuven, and then afterwards we forgot that he said Sarah and he said Reuven. To begin with, he said one of your daughters, and to begin with, he said one of my sons, and that means the suffix was inherent all along. Well, that contradicts Rava. According to Rava, that kedushin shouldn't be valid kedushin, and yet the Braisa is saying it is. So the Gemara says, you're right. So tshuvta de Rava, isn't that a contradiction on Rava? And the answer is, you're right, tshuvta, it is an upshlog, it is a contradiction to Rava. V'hilchsa kavasei da'abaya b'ya'al k'gam. So the result is, the halacha is like Abaya. In six cases, usually the halacha is like Rava over Abaya. You have six cases in Shas, where the mnemonic for them is the words ya'al k'gam, where the halacha is like Abaya. Yud is a case from Eilu Metzias, about Yir Shalei Midas. Ayin is a case involving an Eid Zoymim in Sanhedrin. The Lamed, here you have three possibilities. Rashi says the Lamed is a case from Eruvin about Lechi Ha'oimin Me'ela, the Lechi that's standing there to begin with in front of a Mavri, and you didn't specifically place it over there. Tosfos brings two other possibilities. One is that it's a case in Nida involving Yemei Leda during the days in which a woman has given birth, and afterwards, if some of the days afterwards there's no flow of blood, whether those count towards counting days of Ziva or not. And then Tosfos brings from Bnei, so that was Rabbi Natan's explanation. And then Tosfos brings from Bnei Narbona, the Chacham of Narbonne in the south of France, where they understood the Lamed is a machloikas from Pesachim about loy efshe v'loy kamachavin, where a person is where a person is has a certain hana, which he can't really avoid, but he doesn't, which is also, but he doesn't mean, it's a hana that's also, he doesn't mean to have it, but nevertheless, he's not actually having kavana to have it. What happens over there? Anyway, so actually not really loyal. It's possible for him to avoid it, this hana of Isser, but he's not being mechaven to have it in the first place. So is that a problem or not? So according to Bnei Narbonu, that's the lamed. Anyway, that's the lamed. The kuf is our case over here. Kiddushin shlanim surulabia. The gimel is a case that we learned about in Gittin about gilui daita begita, where a person makes it obvious that he wants a get to be bottle, but he didn't say so in so many words. We had an example over there where a guy sent a get to his wife. And the shliach goes, and she says, "I'm busy today, come back tomorrow." And he goes back, and the mishaleach says, "Baruch Hashem, you didn't give it." So does that amount to being mevatel the get or not? It's machlokas Abaye and Rava. And the sixth one, the mem, is a case involving mumo uichol nevelus in Sanhedrin. So in those six cases, or according to Tosfos, you have two other possible ones. The halacha is like Abaye. Tosfos also points out that you have another machloikas we find also in Bava Metzia, where the halacha is like Abaya. Namely, you have a case over there involving where a shomer was pesheya with an animal, and then afterwards the animal died. The animal went out into the meadow, and it died over there. And the halacha ends up being like Abaya, that he's chayel. So why don't we count that? And the halacha there ends up being like Abaya. So why don't we count that? So Tosfos says that Tosfos says that the halacha in that case was not decided by the Chachmei HaGemara. It was decided later by the Rabbanan Sevaroi. So yes, it is another case where the halacha is like Abaya, but it's not in this siman, because this siman is one for ones that were decided by the Amoroim. Marshos has a more straightforward reason, because over there it's not, they're actually arguing within what Rabbah said. They're arguing how to understand something that Rabbah had said, and therefore it's not really an independent machlokas of their own. There is Reb Lev Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, has an explanation, a deeper explanation behind this Yao Kagam business, and Bechlal, he has a whole detailed explanation of the Kabbalah of the whole scenario of our Mishnah in the first place, which now we're going to get into the next part of it, where we had a case in the Mishnah where there were five women and a man picked a basket of figs that were theirs, but it was Shemitah, and therefore it's not really theirs, and he's Makadish, and there were two sisters among them, and he has a whole explanation tying the five women to the Hei Gvurais, and two of them are sisters representing Netzach and Hoid within Gvura, and so on, and then he explains what the basket symbolizes, and what the figs symbolize, and what Shviyas symbolizes, and so on and so forth, and then you have this Machlokas Abaya and Rava, based on that, where he ends up explaining that you're dealing over here with two levels of makif. You have, when a man is makadish a woman, you have a makif. He's sort of encompassing her because now she's off limits to everybody else. Later on, you're going to have bia, which is that's a mak. So the original one, the kedushin, is a makif harochik. This one is a makif akorev. Eventually, when they do bia, is a makif akorev, because then they're very close together, and therefore Abaya and Rava we find elsewhere in Shas. In various ways are associated respectively with makif harochik and makif hakarev, and therefore that drives their machlokas over here of whether you need the makif hakarev to be able to be accomplished in order for the makif harochik to be effective. And eventually, we said, we shlog up Rava, and the halacha is like a bayin, ya'al kagam. So he goes on to point out, kagam is the Rosh HaTevis of the names of the three sons of Levi, Kahos, Gershon, and Merari. And Levi represents Gvura, and Ya'al Kagam therefore means that in these cases we're saying, so to speak, Gvura overpowers Chesed, as the midah of Shevet Levi is Gvura, and there are the avoiders and a kav of Gvura, and therefore Ya'al Kagam, therefore Kagam is elevated in these cases, and the halacha is like Abaya. And he points out another interesting thing in that regard. You see that it's not only that the initial kuf is for kahos and for kedushin, and for gimel is gershin and the get, but you see actually the meanings. Kahos means to join, means to gather together, and kedushin is when you gather together a husband and wife. And gerushin is when you separate them, and the word gerushin is related to the word gerushin. Very, very fascinating explanation that he goes on in some arichos explaining all the ins and outs of these last couple of blocks that we've been learning. Okay, onward. And the Mishnah said, "Ma'aseh b'chomish nashim." It happened once there were five women, and we said a man picked a basket. There were two sisters among them. A man picked a basket of fruit. Of figs of Shvius, that where those figs were from property that belonged to them, but now it's Shvius and therefore it doesn't because it's Hefker, and he was Makadosh them. He said, Kocha Makodoshously, all of you are Makodosh to me. We learned yesterday how Abaya and Rava respectively are going to understand the case exactly. Did he actually say Kochem? Did he actually say Horu'il Kimikem? Whatever. And one of them received it on behalf of all of them. And the Chachamim said the sisters are not in the picture. Ein achoyes mekudoshes because the sisters, once he's mekadosh, one of them, the other one would be aser. And again, we said Abaya and Rava are going to understand that scenario according to their respective opinions. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav, Shmaminam masnisin arba. We can deduce from this story of our Mishnah four dinim. Now, what the Vinokit Rav Yodei Tlas, Rav had in his hand three. In other words, he knew what the three were. He wasn't clear about the fourth one, as we're going to go on to see. So what are the three that Rav was clear on? First of all, Shmamina Hamakadish Peiros Shvius Mekudeshes. The first thing you see from that, if a person is Makadish with Peiros Shvius, it does work. Now, what's the chiddush of that? Rashi says two things. First of all, you could argue that Peiros Shvius are not really his mammon. They're hefker to everybody. Fine, he took them from hefker. Maybe they're not considered his mammon, that he's zoche in them to the extent that he can be mekadesh with. For example, on Amud Beis, we're going to talk about pieces of korbanus. On the one hand, a person has the ability to eat pieces of korbanus, but on the other hand, we're going to talk about a person can't necessarily be mekadesh with them. So maybe they're not considered his to that extent. So therefore, we're saying that that works. Rashi's second explanation is, given that Peiros Shvius are meant to be only for eating, so maybe you can't use them for other things, such as Kiddushin, and Tosfos teaches out. That would mean maybe, so in other words, you're not supposed to buy things with Peiros Shvius, and therefore maybe you can't be koina a woman with them. No, we're saying that, so Tosfos says, that's so, but b'dieved, the sale would be valid. And so here also, b'dieved, the Kiddushin would be valid. So that would be the chiddush of that he's using Peiros Shvius is the fact that he has the ability to to be mekadosh with that. There is some further discussion about that. Rabbi Akiva Eger over here refers in Gilui Nashas to a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah who wonders about that. Is a person l'hatchila allowed to use Peiros Shvius for that? And Tosfos leaves that over there as a suffix. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, you actually have a Yerushalmi that says that you're not allowed to, and therefore that would be more like what Tosfos is saying over here, that only b'dievet if he did it. Is it good? So you have a tzorich here, and why over there in Avodah Zarah does Tosfos leave it open when the Yerushalmi clearly says you shouldn't? Anyway, that was the first din that Rav derived from our Mishnah, that the fact is maybe you shouldn't do it with the Hatchila, but b'dievet certainly mekudeshes. Ushmamina, another thing we can learn from our Mishnah, Kidsha Begezel ain't a Mekudeshes. If he would have been Mekadesh with something that he stole, then she wouldn't be Mekudesh, even Vafila Begezel Dida, even if it's Gezel of hers. Even let's say he stole something from her and now he wants to be Mekadesh her with it, you might say, well, if she's willing to accept it as Kiddushin, maybe it means she was Moichel on the Gezel. Nevertheless, we don't say that. Because the Mishnah says the reason why Rav gets that from the Mishnah is because Mimai Midikotoni Shalahen Hoisa Vishal Shvius Hoisa. Because we're saying it was theirs, it was from their property, and it was Shvius. Time of the Shvius to Hefker, who the only reason it worked is because it was Shemitah year, and the fruit is Hefker, and therefore there's no Gezel involved. Hodeshar Shnei Shavu Aloi, implying if this had been doing any of the other 6 years, then it wouldn't work because it would be Gezel. Tosfos deals with the question, what's the chiddush with that? I mean, the fact is, if he's gozel, and we're talking about before Yush, Because if it's true, if it's after Yiyush, he would be Mekodesh with it, because the Ganav is Koina, where the Gazlan, whatever, is Koina, whatever he acquired with Yiyush. Now he only has to pay back the value of it. So now we're evidently talking about before Yiyush. So what's the Chiddush? He can't be Mekodesh with Gezel. It doesn't belong to him. So Tosfos says, fine, maybe as far as Dine Mominus, it doesn't apply to him. It doesn't belong to him before Yiyush. Maybe as far as Isur Vehepter, maybe as far as that, you should be choshesh l'chumra and say at least there should be kedushin misafik. And Rav is saying that no, there's no problem with it at all. So that's another thing. So again, that's another din that we learned from our Mishnah. The third one, shmamina isha nasas shliach l'chavata v'afkilu b'mokim shenasas l'tzara. The third din we can derive is that a woman can be a shliach to receive kedushin for another woman, even when she becomes her tzara. Because what are we saying over here in our Mishnah? So we have three out of the five of them are going to be Mekodesh. Fine, the sisters are not, as we discussed before. But the other three are going to be Mekodesh. And one of them, so to this man. So that means when one of them receives it, she's making that she and the other two women are all going to be tsaris to each other. Now, we learned in Yevamos, for example, that a tsara is not believed for Eidos, that will impinge on her tsara's status. For example, a Yevama comes, for example, a tsara says to a tsara comes and reports to a woman that her husband is dead. We don't believe her. We don't allow the woman to remarry because we say maybe her tsara is lying because she wants to mess her up. She wants that her tsara should get married and then the husband's going to turn up alive and you have all the serious consequences that we've learned about before. But when it comes here to Kiddushin, then we don't say that. She's a shliach, and she accomplishes it. In other words, Tosfos teaches out an Eidos involving Maisa is believed. Or the point is, Tosfos also says another possibility, even when she just received the Kiddushin b'stoma, she didn't explicitly say, I'm receiving it on behalf of the other three. Nevertheless, because he had said, Hare Kochan Mekodoshesli, then therefore it works. And she becomes a shliach, and she receives it on behalf of all the other one. So that's another point that we see from our Mishnah, which we otherwise wouldn't have realized. We mentioned yesterday, Rashi had said, that's why when Abaya was trying to explain this case to the Mishnah, he couldn't say it meant that it's not kulchem, and say that it means he was only Mekadesh, one of them, because then he wouldn't have this detail that Rav is deriving from the Mishnah. Anyway, you have that din also you can learn from the Mishnah. The Idach Maihi, so that's three dinim so far that we said that Rav learned from the Mishnah and was very clear about. Now, what's the fourth one, which we said that Rav wasn't so sure about? That is Kiddushin Shein Masun Labia. The case of do we derive from our Mishnah what the din is as far as Kiddushin Shein Masun Labia that we talked about before? Well, the question is v'nichshava. So why don't we list that as the fourth thing that Rav knew from our Mishnah? And the reason is mishum de masakala ikabaya ikirava, because he has a suffix whether in the end the halacha is like Abaya or Rava. And again, like we talked about yesterday, even though Abaya and Rava are a couple of generations after Rav, the machloikus was evidently known before that as well. The concept, not machloikus maybe, but the uncertainty whether kedushin she'en masur labia are valid kedushin or not was known before Abaya and Rava's times. So Rav already knew you do have that suffix, and he had the same suffix about it, which later on Abaya and Rav argued about. We find that in many areas of Torah. We find, for example, as far as Rashi versus Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin, where that machlokas goes back generations before Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. It became famous in the world because of their machlokas, and therefore it's attributed to them. The same way over here, it became famous because of Abaya and Rav's machlokas, but the concept goes back long before them. So we can't say he knew for a fact what we learned from this fourth one, because he doesn't know for a fact. It all depends which of the two possibilities in the suffix you follow. In that essay, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak points out that Rav, in a way, has an affinity with both Abaya and Rava. Rav's personal name was Abba, which is similar to Abaya. On the other hand, he's called Rav, which is similar to Rava. So on a deeper level, that's why he has sort of like a combination of Abaya and Rava, and therefore he can't decide between them. The Gemara continues. Ki Solik Reb Zeira, when Reb Zeira went up to Eretz Yisrael, as we know in many places in Shas, he learned and became a great Talmud Chacham in Bavel, and then he left there and moved to Eretz Yisrael. So Omra Lahoshmaita Kamed Reb Yechanan. He told over this discussion to Reb Yechanan, this statement of Rab that Hamakadosh, in particular, he mentioned the point that Rab had said, Hamakadosh Begezel Einu Mekudeshes, the point that that if a man stole something, whether from her or somebody else, and then he's Makadish with it, and as Tosfos had said, before Yush, then she's not Makudeshus. So Omer le Rav Yechanan, mi Omer Rav Hachi. So Rav Yechanan says, did Rav really say, Omer le mi Omer Rav Hachi, did Rav really say that? So the Gemara says, what? The implication is Rav Yechanan is saying, did Rav really say that? As if to say, how could he say such a thing? I disagree with him. So the question is, v'hulay Omar, does Rabbi Yechanan himself not say the same thing? V'ha'am Rabbi Yechanan, gozov l'nisiyash rabaylim, Rabbi Yechanan himself says that if a person stole something and the owner did not yet have yush, so therefore the gazlan has not yet acquired it, shneim einim yecholim lahakdish, then neither the original owner nor the gazlan is able to be makdish the thing. And he can't use it for kedushin either. Zel afisha inishaloi. The one can't because it doesn't belong to him. He can't be makdish something that doesn't belong to him, or he can't be makadish with something that doesn't belong to him. Vezel afisha inibirshus. And the other one can't because it's not in his rishus right now, and therefore he can't. We learn from psukim that you can be makdish only something that's in your rishus. So the assumption is therefore he can't be makadish with it either. Tosfos actually asks now, what kind of a question is that? Fact is, okay, you can be distinguishing between something that he stole from somebody else, versus something that he stole from her, where again, maybe she's willing to accept it as condition. Maybe it means she's moichel. Maybe that's what Rabbi Yechanan doesn't like about what Rav is saying. And Tosfos discusses that there's a difference between whether there was shiduchim before or not, whether they'd previously discussed that they planned to get married, and therefore you could say, so now if here we're talking about where there were no shiduchim, then therefore you could say that fakert, when she is willing to receive this, she's pretending as though she was receiving it for kedushin, but really she's just receiving it because that's this way, she'll get her item back. She knows if she tells him, just give it back to me, he's not going to listen. So therefore, she's going to pretend, fine, you want to be Makadish me, be Makadish me. But really, she's not Moichel on the Gzela. And therefore, we can assume that that's the case. And therefore, the Gemara is asking why Rabbi Yochanan would ask on Rav when he himself is talking about a very similar case. So why is Rabbi Yochanan seemingly criticizing how could Rav say such a thing? So the answer is no, that's not what he meant. Hachi karmalei, what Rabbi Yechanan means is, mi amar Rav kavasi, is it true that Rav said like me? In other words, fakert, he's very happy, like you have the expression nowadays, people say, borach shekivanti, that the Rabbi Yechanan is impressed that I came up with the same, independently, with the same idea that Rav said. We find elsewhere in Shas that Rabbi Yechanan had tremendous derech eretz for Rav. He describes it one time, he says, I was a young Talmud in the yeshiva, sitting many rows back, and I saw Rav sitting in the front row and talking Torah with Rebbe, and sparks of fire flying back and forth between them, and I didn't even understand what they're talking about. So he recognized that Rav is on a much higher level of learning than he is, and therefore, like, he's impressed. He's very happy with himself that he independently came up now with the same din that Rav had said. Okay, well, the Gemara says, Mesvi, I have a contradiction on what Rabbi Yechanan is saying. A Braisa is saying, if a man was Makadish a woman with something that he stole, with something that he robbed, or chomos, which is where chomos is where he forced the other person to take the payment. So he says, I really want this thing. I don't want to be a gazlan. I don't want to take it from you for no pay, but you better pay. You better be willing to sell it to me or else. And that kind of person is called a chamsan, and the object itself is called chomos. Or Gneva, or he stole, the difference between Gzela and Gneva basically being whether it's being done in the open or not. Anyway, or he grabbed a Sela coin out of her hand, the Kidsha, and he's Makadisha with that. Mekodeshes, she is Mekodesh. So what are you telling me, Rabbi Yechanan, and was saying Rab, that it's not Mekodeshes? And the answer is, you could say, because there, you're talking about we stole it from her herself. So therefore, so now, again, if she's willing to accept it as Kiddushin, then maybe that shows that that she was moichel. Well, the question is, didn't Rav talk about before? So then in that case, then we have a contradiction, again, at least against Rav. So we'll get back to that soon. But first, the Gemara says, what do you mean? The Sefer of the Braisa says that he grabbed a Sela from hers and was Makadisher, implying Miklal Dereshi B'Gezel Da'ama Askinan. So therefore, that implies that the Gezel of the first part of the Braisa is talking about we stole from somebody else. So in other words, the Braisa would be saying whether he stole from somebody else or whether he stole from her, either way, Mekudeshes. And the answer is no, Pirushi Kamafarish. You could say because the second part of the Braisa is explaining the first part. What is an example of being a kaddisher with one of these things where it works? Where he grabs a seller from her hand and is a kaddisher with him. So you could say then that the braisa is distinguishing between whether it's hers, where then you could say that then you could say that she's willing to be moichel on it versus when it's from somebody else where there's no such thing. So the Gemara asks, well, must this the Gezel Dida? What about though? Fine, we can infer Rabbi Yochanan with that, because Rabbi Yochanan didn't specify one way or the other who the Gezel was from. So he could say that when would he say that Kidshab Gezel and Mekudeshes is where he stole it from somebody else? And maybe he would say that if he stole it from her, then maybe Mekudeshes, like the Braisa says. But how does this braisa fit with what Rav had said? What about the case of our Mishnah involves potential gezel from her? Because we said that this fig tree that he took the figs from belonged to these women. And Rav said, had it not been a Shemitah year, she wouldn't have been Mekudesh, only because it's a Shemitah year and all the food is Hefker anyway, only because of that, as it were. And the answer is, the distinction that we just said, that Tosfos says, is based on this Gemara over here. It depends whether there was Shidduchim beforehand or not. Again, did he discuss with her before that he wants to marry her? So now you could say when she receives it, L'shem Kiddushin, then you could say that she's Moichel and she's accepting it L'shem Kiddushin. And therefore it would be a valid Kiddushin. You have Machlokes Rishonim within that, whether it would mean she's Moichel, even the payment of it or not. Or would we still say that he needs to repay her for it later? He just right now the kiddushin are valid, but in any case, the point is that the kiddushin are valid because there was a shidduch, because he discussed it with her beforehand and she had agreed to marry him. Whereas the case in the Braisa is there was no Shidduchim first. He never even talked with her about it first. So therefore, you could say she's not moichel anything at all. She just wants to have the ability to get it back, and then she's going to go her way. With that said, though, if Tosfos Riyazokin adds, and by the way, I mean, we've been quoting Tosfos Riyazokin throughout the Masechta, kind of mockum to mention, it's clearly not from the Riyazokin. They even noted on the back page of the title page of the Gemara that it, in a couple of places, it quotes a sefer called Sefer HaTruma, an important sefer of Halacha, who was a generation or two after Riyazokin. They think that it might have been one of the Chachmei Provincia who actually wrote it. Anyway, whatever. Tosfos Riyazokin says that if after he grabbed it from her, if now it's true there was no Shidduchim from before, but he asks her, Hareyat Mekudeshesli, and she says yes, then yeah, that would be a valid Kiddushin. Because now by saying yes, then evidently she's Moichel. In other words, apparently Tosfos Riyazokin is understanding, in that case, it's not that she just wants to get it back, otherwise she wouldn't have had to say anything at all. After all, by Kiddushin, you don't have to reply anything to Hareyat Mekudeshesli. So if she replies, then we can argue that it means that, then we can argue it means she's willing to accept it as Kiddushin and she's Moichel on the Gezel. Okay. So the Gemara tells a case, Hahi Itza Dehavaka Mashikara Mashikla Demaya. There was a woman who was washing her feet with a basin of water. Osahu Gavra Chotav Zuzi Mechavre Veshodala. A man came by and grabbed some coins from somebody else and threw them to her. And Omala Mikadchisli. And he says to her, Hariat Mekudeshes. Later on, this guy comes to ask Rava to ask whether the Kiddushin are in fact chal. Rava answers him, less to chosh lahodir Rav Shimon, do amistam gzele yush bailam havi. Now, this was obviously before Yush, because he grabbed the coins and immediately threw them to her. There was really no time for Yush. So Rava says, you should know, there is a case in a Mishnah in Kalim where the Mishnah talks about a case where somebody stole something, and Reb Shimon says that we assume that right away the owner is Miyayish, but Rava says nobody actually is concerned for that. Nobody holds the halacha is like that. So therefore, the case over there involves a case involving skins. Usually, if a person has raw skins that are not yet processed, so they're not makabel truma. But if he thinks about, I plan to use these skins as is, for example, to sit on them, then already that machshava makes them able to be makabel truma. So now what happens if somebody had such skins and then somebody stole them from him and the ganav had the same thought, I plan to sit on them. So Reb Shimon says over there that we assume as soon as they were stolen, the owner was miyash, because since it was an open gzela, and he knows who it was, and he knows I have no ability to get it back from him because he's too powerful. Therefore, Reb Shimon says we assume he's miyash right away, but the chachamim over there disagree. So now Rav is saying, don't think anybody actually holds like Reb Shimon in practice. Nobody does. Therefore, the coins that you grabbed from this other guy, there was no Yiyush yet until we actually hear the guy having Yiyush, and therefore know your kedushin of this woman is not valid. Here also, by the way, so a number of Mephoshim bring up the question, why on earth is it relevant to mention that she was washing her feet at the time? Just say that he threw her the coins and the question is whether there was Yiyush or not. So a couple of Rishonim discussed various possibilities. The Ritva says that maybe, in other words, she's busy. She's right now busy washing her feet. So you could say she's distracted right now, and maybe she didn't pay attention when he threw her the coins, and that's why she didn't say anything. Nevertheless, you would still say that it is a valid kedushin. So that's the Ritva brings that up, although there are Kisve Yad where it says about that the Einenu Nochen, that's not a correct explanation. And then the Pnei Yeshua gives a couple of explanations. One is that she was there; she watched the whole thing happen when he grabbed the coins. Nevertheless, had there been Yush and Shinu Rishus, had the original owner had Yush, and now it's Shinu Rishus because it goes from him to her, then it would be valid Kiddushin, only because there was no Yush, is it not? And second of all, you could also say maybe the guy is not actually a Gazlan. Maybe he just wants to be in a hurry to be Mekadosh because somebody else might get to her first. He intends to return the money. So you would say maybe he didn't really mean gezel. Nevertheless, we still consider it full-fledged gezel. The fact is, the halacha is you're not allowed to steal something from somebody, even almanas to return, even almanas just to harass them or whatever. So therefore, it would be considered full-fledged gezel, and therefore ainu mekudeshes. Reb Levi Yitzchok brings an interesting point on this. He says the deeper idea behind this and why we're describing she's washing her feet, and he gives a whole explanation that here the woman represents Malchus, and Malchus has the ability for chitzonim to attach themselves to it, for klippas to attach themselves to it. Therefore, she's washing her feet to get rid of them, to prevent them from grabbing onto her. Meanwhile, this Rosha, who's obviously a Rosha since he's a Gazlan, tries to be Makadosh, or he tries to get some nurturing from her koichas, and Rava tells him nothing doing. Okay. Another case, Ahu Arisa de Kadosh Bemuza de Shamchin. There was an Oris who was Makadosh, a woman with a handful of onions. So this Oris, he's supposed to get a certain percentage of the produce. So now he was managing a field where they're growing onions. So he took a handful of onions from that field and was Makadosh a woman with it. He didn't first ask the owner of the field whether he can take these onions. Now, by the way, we did learn a few days ago that to be Makadosh with vegetables is a bizoyan, but there we were talking about a father accepting Kiddushin on behalf of his daughter, a Katana or a Naira. Here we're talking about the woman herself is accepting it, and the question is it valid or not, considering, again, it doesn't belong to him. So the question is not, is it a bizoyan to be Makadosh that way? It's up to her to decide whether she's willing to tolerate that bizoyan, but it's a question of, do the onions belong to him? Also, Kamei de Rava, so he went to Rava for Shaila, Omale, and Rava tells him, Man Achloch, who was Meichel to you? The fact is that the fact is those onions don't belong to you yet because until you and the Balabais figure out how much produce there was and divide it, it's not yours. So therefore, again, it's a Mekadosh Begezel, and therefore it doesn't work. And in fact, the Gemara says, "V'hani mili b'muza." Now that would only apply only if it was a handful. So you don't really know how much it is. How is he going to later on be able to go to the Balabais and tell them, "I took X amount of onions. So now let's figure out, and I'll make sure you get an extra X amount of that when we divide it up." You can't because you don't really know how much it was. But if it was a bundle of onions, where it's a known size, all the bundles are the same size. Like nowadays, you go to the store, you buy a 2-pound bag of onions. It's known; it's 2 pounds. So then, Motzi Omale. Now the artist is able to say to the owner of the field, "Anosh shakli kisha, shakol at kisha. I took an extra bundle beforehand. So now, when we're dividing up, then you're going to take an extra bundle. After all, kisha ki kisha, one bundle is exactly like the other." So that would work. That's not considered gezel, and therefore mekudeshes. You have a similar kind of thing, by the way, you find elsewhere where the Gemara talks about that. For example, if you have a partnership and you have assets of the partnership that need a shuma, that need to be evaluated to figure out how much they're worth, then neither one can just go and divide it unilaterally, because what if he undervalues or overvalues it? But if the assets of the partnership include things where the value is clearly obvious, like coins, then he can divide it unilaterally. So here, a similar thing, when you have known size bundles of onions, then he can do that. He can unilaterally decide that I'm going to take part of my share now, and later on I'll compensate him accordingly. But when you don't have that, when it was a muza, when we said it was a handful, where it's not defined how much it was, then we would consider that gezel. Okay. Another example, another case. Hahu Sarsia, there was a person who makes beer. Rashi brings from a Gemara in Hamafkid that also mentions a similar word, Sarsa, over there, that means a brewer. So there was a brewer, Dekadish Bepruma Deshichra. He was Makadish with the leftovers of the dates after they squeeze them to extract the material for the beer. Regular beer in those times was made from dates. So you would have, you press or grind or whatever it is you do with the dates exactly to get out the moisture from them, and then that ferments and it becomes beer. Then you have the leftover, you have the dregs of it. So he took some of that and was Makadish, a woman, with it. Now again, it doesn't belong to him. He's not the owner of the brewery. He's an employee in the brewery, so he doesn't have the right to take that himself. There are, by the way, a couple of different explanations among Rishonim of other possibilities what pruma means over here. But whatever, the point is, it was something that didn't belong to him. In particular, actually, he brings brings from one of the Goyim that it means a small keli of beer. Whatever the case, it doesn't belong to him. Also, Mori de Shichra Ashkeche, the owner of the brewery, the owner of the beer, came and found him, that he was Makadish, this woman, with this Pruma de Shichra. Omale, and the owner tells him, Amai like Kesev Mehai Harifa, why don't you give her the better stuff? Meaning, in other words, what happens with this psoilus? So Rashi explains, what's the purpose? What would you use this psoilus for? You would then pour water over it, and that water would absorb some of the taste of the dates, and then you'd ferment it, and you'd have a kind of weaker beer. So now the guy is saying to the employee, "Why don't you give her some of the better beer for kiddushin?" Now, what does that mean? So he comes to Rava to ask. After all, it seems like the guy agreed that it's fine. You could use the beer. You could use my beer for it. Omar, but Rava says, Now there is a similar kind of thing as far as truma. The Gemara tells us, we talked about this earlier in the Perek, that you have a Gemara in Eva Metzias, in Bava Metzia, that tells where you have a person goes and takes Truma on behalf of somebody else. And the Gemara explains over there that what it is he was appointed as Shliach, and he goes and takes the better quality fruit for Truma, where usually people give the average quality, and the owner comes and finds him and says, "Kloch etzo yofis, go, you should have gone to the better ones." So there, the Gemara says, it depends. If there really are better ones, then it means the owner was masking. He's saying, good, you know what, you took the average stuff, I would have given the better stuff, go, you should have done that. So therefore, his truma is valid truma, as opposed to if there's nothing better, then it means the owner said it to him kind of sarcastically, like saying, go to the good ones, but there aren't any good ones. If there had been good ones, you would have taken them already. So therefore, then the truma is not valid truma. So here, Tosfos says actually the scenario over here has to be that the man made him a shliach. He does have the ability to handle this beer and to a certain extent to decide what to do with it, but not necessarily to go and be makadish with it. So now, when the guy says kloch etzo yofis, he's saying the equivalent of kloch etzo yofis, just like over there. The owner says you should have gone and taken the better fruit, and we have to see whether there is in fact better. Wouldn't it be the same thing over here that we say we have to see whether there's better beer? And of course there is, because this pruma over here only produces an inferior quality beer. Nevertheless, Rava says lo amru kloch etzo yofis el inin truma. That idea of kloch etzo yofis, that can show that depending whether there are in fact yofis, that it is valid truma, that kind of thing applies only to truma for reasons that we're going to explain in a minute. Detanya, namely, we learn in a brisa. Ketzet amru todim shalemi das trumasi truma. What does it mean when a person takes truma without the das of the owner of the fruit? It is valid truma. Hareshi yored l'sech zdei chaveroi. And the case is he goes into somebody else's field, the likit the todam shaloi b'rishus, and he collects some of the produce and takes truma from it without the rishus of the owner. Im choshish mishum gezel, if the owner is concerned of gezel, he doesn't want that the other guy should be taking truma without him agreeing, and that he's machbid on it, so he feels like it's gezel. Ain't truma se truma, then the truma is not valid truma. Vim lav truma se truma, and if not, if there's no concern of gezel, then the truma is valid truma. Uminayin hoyu yedeya im choshish mishum gezel im lav. How is the mafrish, how is the one who actually took the truma supposed to know whether the balabais is machbid or not? Haresha bo balabais umotzoi. Suppose the balabais comes and finds him taking the truma, and he tells him go to the better ones. If there are in fact better ones, then the truma is valid truma, because then it shows that the owner agrees with what he did and is saying, you know what, you took from the average stuff, I would have even taken from the better stuff. And if not, if there's no better ones in truma, then the truma is not a valid truma, because then he's basically saying sarcastically that you took from the best already. It's a good thing I didn't have anything better. And the braisa continues, hoya bailam malaktim umasifim, if the owner collected some other fruit and added it to the pile of truma that the first one took, ben kach or ben kach truma se truma, either way the truma is valid, whether there are better ones or not, because obviously then the balabais showed that he agreed with the truma that he took so far. And again, Tosfos says, we're talking about over there, the Gemara establishes that it has to be that the owner gave him permission to begin with to give truma. He made him a shliach, otherwise a person can't take truma for somebody else without being a shliach in the first place. However, he didn't tell him specifically to take from the better or from the worse or from the average or whatever. The guy decided that on his own. So now, in a similar vein over here, again, Tosfos says it would have to be this guy is a shliach. But Rava says, in that case, fine, we say that because, after all, you have to take truma regardless. One way or the other, the owner is going to have to take truma. So we can talk about whether he took the best or not quite the best. Abel Hocha, but over here, yes, he says you could have used better beer. Mishum kisufa hu da'ovid. He does it because of embarrassment, which there are two ways of understanding that. That can mean that he says it like that, davka, in order to Meiri brings two possibilities. It can mean that he wants to embarrass him. He wants to like call him out and say, what are you doing using my beer for Kiddushin? It doesn't belong to you. And so he says an expression, you should have used the better beer, but either way, we're meant to understand that's kind of sarcastic. Or we could say that it means fakert. He doesn't want to embarrass the guy, and therefore he pretends like it was with his das all along. Whatever, either way, you could say, so therefore, Eina Mekudeshes, and the result is that therefore, she's not Mekudesh because he doesn't truly agree to it. And then therefore it's Gezel, and therefore you have the problem. I'm a Kaddish, but Gezel ain't a Mekodeshes. Okay. Mishnah says, Hamakadish b'chelkoi. Suppose that a Kohen is Makadish a woman with his portion of Korbanos. Mefoshim discuss actually whether the same din would be would apply. Also, does it dafka have to be a Kohen? Would the same concept apply? Would the same concept apply to the owner himself? So actually, the halacha is in fact that the halacha is in fact not. So even though we're focusing over here on the koyin, Rashi says we're focusing on the koyin. Actually, the same din would end up being with the owner as well. Anyway, bein kodshe kodshim, bein kodshim kalim. Whether he's makadish with a piece of kodshe kodshim, a chatas or an osham, or kodshim kalim, for example, shlomim or bechor or what have you. Either way, ain't a mekudeshes. Either way, she's not mekudesh. Because it's not really his. The Gemara is going to call it Mishochan Gavoya Kazochu. Essentially, it belongs to Hashem, and Hashem grants it to him to eat. But it's not really his to be Makadish with. The Meiri actually disagrees with that point about the owner versus the Koyan. He says that actually the same thing. He says that, that the owner would also be included in this as well. The fact is, the same din would apply to the owner as well. Anyway, so he's Makadish with that. Ein Makodeshes doesn't really belong to him. To the extent that he can use it is really only is really only in order to eat it. Now, Tosfos brings up the point. So what? She has enough from it. Later on, we're going to give examples where he doesn't actually give her something, but he says, we're going to have an example on Daf Samach Gimel in the next parak, where he says, I'm a Kaddish you because I'm going to speak to the government about you and have them remit you taxes or something. So that works because he gave her Hana. Here, doesn't she have the Hana of eating meat? And Tosfos says no, because there she's actually able to gain something financially from what he said. So therefore, it's as if he gave her a pruta. Here, the Tomas Hana is not his, because not really. He can't. If you in that case over there, in other words, conceivably, it's not so much that she gets a schar. The point is, having told her that Shadaber Aleich LaShulton, he could tell her, you know what? Now, he could say, you know what? Really. For talking to the Shilton about you, for telling them to forgive you some taxes, you should really pay me for that. So I'm moichel on that, and with that Hana, you can be Mekodesh. Here, the Toivas Hana is not his. He can't tell her, I'm going to give you a piece of this korban, and in return, you give me some money. It doesn't work that way. It's not his to give. Therefore, it can't be considered that he actually gave her anything. Tosfos Yeshanim adds also that even though Tosfos Yeshanim also adds that he could sell it to a Kohen, but it's still Mamon Gavoya. A number of Achronim wonder, what do you mean he could sell it? You can't sell Kodshim. And in fact, there's an explanation that there's a printing mistake in Tosfos Yeshanim, and instead of Lemoichra, which means to sell it, it's Lemoisra. He could give it to a Kohen to eat. Because the part that you see the Yisrael is allowed to eat, he could conceivably instead give to a Kohen. The Kohen is perfectly allowed to eat it, but still it's Mamon Gavoya. okay, so Einam HaKudeshes. Continues the Mishnah. What about B'maiser Sheni? What about if he's Makadish with Maiser Sheni? So now you have Macholikus. Bein Shogeg, Bein Mezid, like Kiddush, Divid Ameir. Rameir says the Kiddushin is not valid whether it was B'Shogeg or B'Mezid because Rameir holds that Maiser Sheni is also Mamon Gavoya. It's also something that fundamentally belongs to Hashem and just Hashem tells you take it to your Shalayim and eat it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shogeg lekiddush b'mezid kiddush. Rabbi Yehuda says if it was b'mezid, then if it was b'shogeg, then sure, I agree, it's not kiddushin. But if it was b'mezid, then he's makadish because he holds that meiser is mum and hedya. So if it was b'shogeg, then it's kiddushay tos. She wouldn't have accepted it. Either one or the other of them. We're going to learn the Gemara tomorrow. One or the other of them wouldn't have agreed that this should be valid kiddushin if they had known it's Maiser Sheni, therefore it's kiddushin tos. But what's amazing, he knows that it's Maiser Sheni, and so does she. Then Rabbi Huda says that would work because Maiser Sheni is mum and head. Over hektish, what about if he's makadish or with something of hektish? So we don't mean kobonus, we mean, for example, kodshe bedekabayis. So then, then b'mezid kiddush or a shogig la kiddush divir a mayor. Now the mayor would say that if it was b'mezid, then the kiddushin is valid and b'shogig not. And we're going to learn in the Gemara later on why that is. Rabbi Yehuda, b'shogig kiddush, b'mezid by kiddush, and Rabbi Yehuda says the other way around. If it was b'shogig, then it's valid kiddushin, b'mezid not. Basically, we're going to get into the Gemara. We're going to eventually get into the Gemara. On Nun Gimel Amud Beis, we're going to talk about the machlokes. This basically boils down to under what circumstances does this asset of hektish become no longer hektish as a result of him using it for kedushin and becomes chulin, and just the guy is chayev to bring an asham ne'ilos and to pay hektish? Under what circumstances b'shogeg or b'mezid? So we'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll learn that in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. But first, let's start with some of the Gemara over here. The Gemara starts off. Would we have to say that our Mishnah, the first part of our Mishnah, about that if he's Makadish with Kodshim Kalim, it doesn't work because it's not his Mammon, would we have to say that this is not like Rabbi Yosi Aglivi? And in general, a Stam Mishnah, we always want to assume, goes according to everybody. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Posik says, the Posik describes a case where a person denied. Now, even though it says mal amal, it's actually talking about where he's swearing falsely to somebody else on a claim. So Reuven deposited something for safekeeping with Shimon, and later on he says, "Where's my item?" And Shimon denies that he has it, or claims falsely that it was stolen or lost or what have you, and swears falsely on that. That's the asham gzelus that a person would have to bring. So what's a mal amal b'ashem? Why b'ashem? L'rabbis kodshim kalim shem amoinai. That comes to include kodshim kalim, which are considered the mammon of the maskid. Meaning, in other words, usually there's no shvua in connection with kodshim. If, for example, if Hektish has a claim against a person, then usually he doesn't have to swear in based in the Dabon, and there are some times where he has to swear, but in the Daraisa, you don't swear about things involving Hektish. So here you have a matter of Hektish. Nevertheless, because it's somebody else who deposited it with him for safekeeping, then normally then Rabbi Yosi really holds it is considered Reuven's mammon, and therefore now when Shimon denied it and swore falsely, then it's like the regular case where he's denying somebody else's money, and therefore he's chayev in keren and chomesh and osham. So therefore, Rabbi Yosi really holds that kodshim kalim are considered the mammon of the person who owns them. So our Mishnah seems to contradict that. So the Gemara says no. I feel the tamer Rabbi Yosi Aglivi. No, because you could say that it does even go according to Rabbi Yosi Aglivi. Kika omer Rabbi Yosi Aglivi mechayim. Rabbi Yosi Aglivi is talking about while the animal is still alive. So he deposited the animal for safekeeping with somebody else. So eventually the whole thing is not going to be burnt on the mizbeach anyway. If it's kodshim kalim, so eventually he's going to be eating the meat, he's going to be keeping the skin. The only part that's going to be offered on the mizbeach is only the emurim. So therefore, we can say that it belongs to him. Even Rabbi Yosi Aglivi would agree that after shchita, it's not considered his anymore. So then it's considered mamon gavoya. My timer, why is that? Because when the Koyanim and the owner get their portions, Mishochan Gavoya Kazachu, they're basically getting it from the table of Hashem. So in other words, at this point, it belongs completely to Hashem, and therefore and Hashem grants them those portions. So now even Rabbi Yosi Aglivi would agree that it doesn't belong to him and he can't be Makadish. And the Gemara says, Dekanami. In fact, you can show that clearly from the wording of the Mishnah, to Katani Hamakadish Bechelko, it says in Makadish with his portion, which implies that it was already divided up after it was shechted. But Ben Kodshe Kodshim, Ben Kodshim Kalim, like Kiddush. And it says whether it's Kodshe Kodshim or Kodshim Kalim, he's not Makadish. Shmamina, that shows, the word Bechelko shows we're talking about after the Korban was already divided up. So it's very clear from that, therefore, that's the case we're talking about. And even Rabbi Yosi Aglivi, in that case, would agree that it's not valid kedusha. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and tell a story involving this halacha and clarify the various opinions in our Mishnah of Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda. Shikayash.